Shalom and welcome to another program of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I try to bring you programs of interest. In this particular program, I'm sad to inform you of the death of cantor Sherwood Goffin. Many of you are aware that he suffered from a brain tumor, and he finally succumbed this past Wednesday at the age of 77. He was a cantor of Lincoln Square Synagogue for 50 years, quite an achievement. He was affectionately called the Chaz. Beloved by the synagogue and all who dealt with him over the years, he was very talented and epitomized Jewish soul music. He was a proponent of congregational singing and was a master in involving the congregation in the service. He worked tirelessly with the Soviet Jewry movement. He was there in the beginning fighting for their freedom. He was totally involved in educating Chazonim and training through the Bell School, where Sherwood was on the faculty. Sherwood was also a strong force in the Cantorial Council of America. For the first hour, we're going back about 37 years when he was 40 years of age. It's a concert at Town Hall. During the second part of this first hour, you will hear an interview I did with Sherwood 4 years ago on July 13th, 2015. And during the second hour, you will hear two albums from the 70s when he was in his late 20s. Okay, going back a little bit.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present Sherwood Goffin.
Shabbos, the Kabbalah, I, Our Torah has taught us that we should be thankful and grateful if one thing we ask comes true. If we're able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A mitzvah to be at a simcha. It's a mitzvah to be joyous. And that's what we're doing tonight. And that's what the song is all about.
Yos besimcha tovim. simchot, Dios me simchot tovir. Mitzvot gedola, Dios me simchot, Mitzvot gedola, Dios me simchot, Dios me simchot tovir. Mitzvot gedola, Dios me simchot, Mitzvot gedola, Dios me simchot, Dios me simchot tovir. La 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 la. Heart and soul a smile, for it's a mitzvah, dance at a simcha, and put a smile on every Jewish child. Let's have a simcha, dance at a simcha, for it's a mitzvah, to dance at a simcha, and put a smile on every Jewish child. Let's have a simcha.
To travel far, but they couldn't provide for me a car. All I got was words. All I got was words. Gay Gizelwood, gay Pamela, all my glickliche reise. Gay Gizelwood. Gay Pamela, oh, but Lickleth and Riser. Gay Gizelwood, gay Pamela, oh, but Lickleth and Riser. Gay Gizelwood, gay Pamela, oh, but Lickleth and Riser. Thank you.
wanted to increase my knowledge, but they couldn't send me to college. All I got was words. All I got was words. Ob sechel sein ich genad, teure is the best of teure. Ob sechel sein ich genad, teure is the best of teure. Ob sechel sein ich genad, teure is the best of teure. Ob sechel sein ich genad, teure is the best of teure. The years have flown, the world has turned. Things I've forgotten, things I've learned. Yet I remember. Yes, I remember. Sag dem Emes gibt's a Docket, ob Rachmun is sei a Mensch. Sag dem Emes gibt's a Docket, ob Rachmun is sei a Mensch. Sag dem Emes gibt's a Docket, ob Rachmun is sei a Mensch. Sag dem Emes gibt's a Docket, ob Rachmun is sei a Mensch. All I got was words. Ob Rachmun is sei a Mensch. Reb Levi of Berditchev once said to God, I don't ask you not to make me suffer. I just ask that if I must, I suffer for your sake. Through the pain and through the pleasure, through the peaceful and the wild, our tiny fragile treasure, God protect our child. Through the fire crisply burning, through the water crystal clear, guard the soldier who's returning to his home so dear. Through the good times, through the bad times, oh my God, it's you that I need. Through the sting and all, through the honey, through the bitter, through the sweet. Don't destroy my growing, my yearning. Don't ignore my hope and my prayer. Bring me back and I'll be returning to the land so good and fair. Al hadvash vi al haukitz, al hamar ve hamatok, al miteinu hatinoket, shmor kelim hatok. Al ha'ish ha'mevoeret, al ha'mayim ha'zakim, al ha'ish ha'shach ha'baita min ha'merchakim. Al kol ele, al kol ele, shmon ali kelim ha'tov. Al ha'dvash v'al ha'uke, al hamar v'hamator, al natakor natua, al tishkach et ha'tikvah, ashiveh
My God, protect this dwelling and my garden evermore from the scream of sudden shelling, from the sounds of war. May my home be safe from terror. May my children know no pain. Guard the earth from nature's error. Give it sun and rain. I'll call
individual is spiritually drowning, all he has to do is raise up his hand and grasp onto it as if it were a branch over a fast river. It will lift him up and save him.
Bye.
Kiyem, 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 ki
Hashem, ki tov Hashem. Hey, tamu, tamu v'riyu, ki tov Hashem, ki tov Hashem. How can it be that God is good? Is man really free? How can it be when the world is crude and man is rude? I cannot see that God is good. How can it be? Taste and see, cries out from within me, that God is good eternally. You must learn His Torah, as every Jew should, to taste and see.
Tonight is one which I know you pray for every day as fervently as I do, that we may soon welcome the harbinger of Mashiach ben David in the person of Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu HaNavi himself, v'chein yihi ratzon.
B'mehera Yavoe Eleinu Imashiach Ben Navi Bimhera Yavoe Eleinu Imashiach Ben Navi Eliyahu 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 Anabi Eliyahu 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 Hatishbi Eliyahu Hanabi Eliyahu Hatishbi Eliyahu 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 Agiladi Eliyahu 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 Hatishbi Be
Mashiach ben David. Bimera yavo eleinu im Mashiach ben David.
Shoed Goffin about 36 years ago at the town hall. And let's get to this interview that I did with him on July 13th, 2015, 4 years ago. Let's hope this works. Coming right up. Shalom. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Charlie? Pleasure to speak to you.
Okay. How about first telling us a little bit about your background, where you were born, and where you were raised?
I was born in New Haven, Connecticut, to a family of my father. Although my father was not Orthodox, my mother was from a semi-Hasidic family who sang all the time. In fact, my two uncles were... We're Chazonim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur every year, and I started taking violin lessons when I was 6 years old. I was in a choir when I was 8 years old.
In New Haven?
In New Haven, right.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the day school there at that time. And eventually, I at the age of 12, I already was sent off to Torah Vadas in Brooklyn. I was in the eighth grade, and at that time, I started spending every single Shabbos in the home of the Boston Rebbe of New York, who was the one who created all the Nigunim of the Boston Rebbe. All the Boston Nigunim came out of New York, not of Boston. This is the oldest son, and their family had moved there from Boston in 1938. And I was suddenly immersed into a world of music that I had never experienced before. Friday nights, they used to sing four-part harmonies at the table on Shabbos. Nigunim, the famous Nigunim, a lot of people know these Nigunim already. They came out of the Busner of New York, such as Torah, 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 Tziva lanu Moshe.
Oh.
Torah, 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 Tziva. And Ki may I love, ki may I love. Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha-tov. All these came out of the years that I was there in the bus in the Rebbe's house during eighth grade in high school. And I learned, I for the first time, I heard beautiful davening because the bus in the Rebbe was a wonderful Baal Tefillah. His son, in fact, his son Reb Chaim Avram, was the chazan for 2 years of a congregation on the west side known as the Antwerp Minyan. That's where Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give lectures every week on Tuesday nights. But he had a beautiful voice, so between him and his brothers and his father, I was immersed into a world of singing which I have never experienced before, and I think that really gave me the basis for who I am today. And then I went from there to Torah Vadas and went to Yeshiva University, and while I was there, I took some courses in the Bell School of Jewish Music. At that time, it was called the Cantorell Training Institute. Captain Alman was one of my teachers. Captain Noach Scholl was one of my teachers. Captain Chaim Nyman was one of my teachers. Zal Pasternak was one of my teachers. And frankly, I didn't ever thought about doing it full time because I didn't think, you know, making a living in music, although I was a violinist, but you know, I was interested in becoming a doctor. So, and suddenly, I learned how to play guitar, which wasn't so hard once you play violin. The transition is, although that's an exaggeration, it's a little more than bringing it down from your chin to your chest. Yeah. It was the 75th anniversary convocation of Yeshiva University, 75th anniversary of the university, and they had a huge event in Lamport Auditorium, which seats 1,200 people. The place was packed. Students from Stern College, Yeshiva College, guests, visitors. Dr. Belkin, the president, spoke, and I was the interlude, as I had been singing with my guitar in the dormitories at night, keeping people up. So the president of the student council says, "Hey, why don't you sing for us?" So my first major performance was in front of 1,200 people at the Lampard Auditorium in Yeshiva University.
Interesting.
1961, 62, I think. Mm-hmm. And I started becoming very busy. People were calling me to do house events, Malava Malkas, women's luncheons, Shul's annual dinners. And I got pretty busy. And I said, wait a minute, I can't do medicine and do this at the same time because I really enjoyed it. So I decided to switch to psychology, where I could also someday work in a hospital. I could still work in a hospital and still enjoy a music career. And you want me to go further?
You were.
Shall I continue?
Well, yes, of course. You were involved very heavily with the Soviet Jewry movement in the beginning.
Yes, so at that time also, I got a call from Yanka Birnbaum, the founder of the Soviet Jewry movement in the world Soviet Jewry movement. He was the head of the SSJ, the Student Struggle Soviet Jewry. He and Glenn Richter, who, by the way, were both members of Lincoln Square Synagogue.
Well, and Glenn is still a member, and I'm
Glenn
a member.
Still a member, and still walks every single day, every yes. single Shabbos, whether it's blizzard or...
Yes.
Or storm, or rain, or freezing.
Yes.
From 97th Street to 58th Street, every single Shabbos.
He's superb.
One of our most dedicated
yes.
Shulgoers.
Yes.
Anyway, they called me in mid-60s, and they said, I think it was 64. They said, we're starting this organization. We need someone to play music and to help compose songs that are for this, for our campaign. Would you do it? So I said, okay, fine. I mean, and I became a volunteer. I ended up being a street singer and a rally singer, and whenever they needed me, they just snapped my fingers, and they snapped their fingers, and I came.
That was great.
It was a wonderful experience. It just, you know, it gave me a purpose in life. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I met so many more people than I would have had I just sat in my house. And eventually, I sang at all the I sang at the first big Triple SJ rally in 1965, which was the Jericho March. At the time that Shlomo Carlbach introduced Am Yisrael Chai for the first time,
mm-hmm.
I sang at that one. I sang at every subsequent UN rally, and eventually Shlomo never sang at the Solidarity Day rallies. I think perhaps the major organizations that had taken it over by then were afraid what he might say, so they didn't welcome him, they didn't invite him. So I sang every year at all the Solidarity Day rallies
mm-hmm.
through the late 1980s. I sang with Natan Sharansky when he first came out of the Gulag. In fact, he came over to me and said, you know, I want to sing two songs that I always sang in Russia, but I don't have a good voice. Would you mind singing with me? So in front of 300,000 people, we sang Hine Matov Banoyim. And he said when he walked over the bridge between East and West for his freedom, he was not allowed to go with anybody. So he sang to himself, Gesher Tzar Ma'od, all this world is a very narrow bridge.
Yes.
He wanted me to sing that with him, too. So I did.
So
I became a Soviet Jewish singer. I became an Israel rally, all the Israeli rally singers. I did concerts, major halls in Brooklyn College. One of the first ones was with Chazen David Vertiger. Though Chazen David Vertiger was, of course, a very famous Chazen in Brooklyn. He was Mordechai's father.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a big concert with Jackie Goldstein, led a choir of 25, 30 people in Brooklyn College. And I was the interlude singer. I sang in the middle between the two sets. I got to know Chazen Vertiger and two little boys in the choir who always remembered that they actually ran and bought my records. And they never forgot it. And that's how they started out in their careers. Their names were Mordechai Vertiger, who became Mordechai Ben David, and Mendy Vertiger, who owns Aderet.
Yes, yeah, and mostly music. How did you get to Lincoln Square?
Well, that's another interesting question. I never thought that I'd do it as a career. But I was going to graduate school of psychology, and I met a young lady who I was interested in marrying, and I knew I had to earn a few dollars, just besides being a little folk singer. And so I had studied at the Bell School, and I asked them if they would mind putting me up. Now, in those days, every little shul had a chazen. It was unbelievable. I mean, I had a choice of five or six shuls in New York, small shuls that mm-hmm. had a chazen. I chose finally a shul. I was accepted by three shuls, but I chose a shul in the Northeast Bronx called Anshe Amas that had been revitalized by a very famous rabbi now who just passed away, Rabbi David Hartman, who founded the Shalom Hartman Institute in Israel.
Uh-huh.
And they had had a little fan club, the Sherwood Goffman fan club, the year before, so I knew them already. So I became the chazen there, uh-huh. and I also ran the Hebrew school at the same time I was taking my graduate school classes in psychology. And the second year I was there, I got a call on a Sunday morning from a little rabbi with a squeaky voice by the name of Stevie Riskin, who is now, of course, Rav Shlomo Riskin, chief rabbi of Efrat.
Yes.
And that he was starting a shul on the west side, and he needed a chazen. How he got to me, well, we had been friends for a year or so because we had done our outreach programs together. I would warm up the crowd with the guitar, and he would hit him with the Torah. But how he actually wasn't going to call me because he didn't want to take me away from the shul. But somebody had told the night before that I had just spoken to them and said that I was looking for another shul. So he gave me a call. And he wanted me to come because he needed a chazan. All the chazanim in the Midtown Manhattan at that time just did chazanis. Nobody did any congregational singing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all listening. You all sat back and listened to the choir and chazan. Nobody got involved. And he says his shul was full of individuals who had no background, conservative reform people, who he had convinced to become Orthodox, and he needed someone who would get them involved in congregational singing. So over a period of time, I was going to say no many times, and I walked into this house, and I walked out saying maybe, because he's a very influential individual, very charismatic. And I agreed to try it for a year, and then the rest is history. So that was 1965, and now it's 50 years. It's my 50th year. December 31st will be 5 years, 50 years and 4 months.
Uh-huh.
I told the show, I think that's a good run, and we'll call it a day. But they said, yeah, well, we still want you to live in the neighborhood. We want you to keep your office. We want you to come back every Yom Kippur, if you wish. I said, all right. But, you know, my main goal of retiring also is because all my grandchildren are in Baltimore, Silver Spring, and Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And I want to be with my grandchildren and get to know them before they grow up and fly away. And, in fact, now I have a little apartment here, which I use this, so I don't have to bother them.
Uh-huh.
And so I still will live in the neighborhood, and I'll still be teaching in the Bell School of Jewish Music after December 31st. But as far as an official paid member of the staff, after December 31st, I will have become emeritus. I don't know what I'll call myself. Right now I'm the senior cantor. As you know, my chazan of the shul, my associate, my wonderful associate, Yankee Lemmer, is davening twice a month. I daven now like once every 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Probably after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I won't daven until Hanukkah. And then I'll become a civilian after 50 years and 4 months.
Well,
not only that, but it's really 52 years if you count the 2 years I was in the Bronx. So remember, for almost 50 years or more, 51 years, I was davening every single Shabbos, Friday night, Shacharis, Musaf of Shabbos morning, straight for 51 years. Almost never missed a Shabbos, except for during the summer when I had a month off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a different world for me now.
By the way, I understand my listeners may not know, suburban Baltimore has a fabulous Jewish community.
Oh, where I am, and especially in the Pikes, it's called the Pikesville area. It's really part of Baltimore City, but it's all the way northwest. It's a huge, huge. I mean, a show opened with 400 seats. And like overnight, every single seat was taken by a young man between the ages of 25 and 30 with a black hat, you know.
Really? And, of course...
up another shul down the block, same thing happened.
Avi Olbrecht has a huge shul there, too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, obviously. He's the only chazan left, unfortunately, in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
Orthodox chazan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he has a very big shul, that's true. Right? But he's in a different area. He's in a more Tony suburban area.
I see. I see.
The area I'm in is where there are 25 blocks of two-story reasonable rent apartments.
Uh-huh. They still have that.
Friday night they announce at least 3 births of boys because there's going to be Shalom Zachar, so everybody has to go to the Shalom Zachar Friday night. And they don't announce the girls. There must be another 2-3 girls. That means every single week in this one shul, at least 4 or 5 children born every single week. It's just amazing what's going on here.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about the Bell School.
Well, the Bell School of Jewish Music was founded in the late 1940s as a cantoral workshop for servicemen coming back from the war. And Macy Nauman was asked by the Yeshiva University president to oversee it. It wasn't officially a school, it was a workshop. By 1950, it was officially called the Cantoral Training Institute and became an official part of Yeshiva University under the leadership of Dr. Carl Adler, who was the director of music, formerly the chancellor of the conservatory in Stuttgart, had been saved from Germany by Yeshiva University's faculty, specifically a rabbi, Dr. Saar, and as thank you, he agreed to start a music department, and he started the music department. And he was also officially the dean of the Cantorial Training Institute, although he wasn't really a trained Jewish music expert, but he was a world music expert. And his associate was Macy Norman. Eventually, Macy Norman took over as the dean of the school. And we used to have a very large group for a number of reasons. First of all, in those days, there were a lot of cantorial positions, so people were studying to become a chazan, an Orthodox shul. And so there were a lot of people in classes. Also, another thing, which was probably not true in some of the other schools, the Yeshiva College accepted credits from the Bell School. If a student took a certain amount of credits at the Bell School, it was accounted towards his 120 credit requirement for Yeshiva College.
I see.
To graduate Yeshiva College. Of course, there's a limit how many and there still is, how many credits you can take. In those days, we had a large large classes. We had 15 students, 20 students. We had wonderful teachers. We had, as I said before, we had Velva Pasnak. We had Cantor Norman, Cantor Scholl, now Noach Scholl, who's the greatest expert in cantoral knowledge today living. We had Cantor Chaim Nyman. We had Rabbi Sidney Honig. We had it was quite a faculty, and so the students who were there learned quite a bit in a great detail. And if you study music with Dr. Carl Adler, who was a German perfectionist, who scared the daylights out of you if you didn't do it right, you learned your music.
Mm-hmm.
And they granted, and they still grant, two different degrees. One is called the Associate Cantorial Certificate, which is basically for a shamus or anybody who wants to take the first step of the graduate degrees. It's mostly shachris and leinings and things of that type, which are important for every chazan to know anyway. And the cantorial diploma, which is really the whole shoot match, everything. You have to know everything that there is in the curriculum, plus you have to know advanced music, musicianship, and harmony, and so on and so forth. And we have we had a fair amount of famous graduates. Cantor Noach Scholl was our first graduate.
Really?
From then on, you had, I don't know who else I can say, but I'm a graduate. Cantor Bernie Beer is a graduate.
I'm sure.
Remember all the names of all the people are graduates now. It's hard to say, but certainly it grew a whole generation of not only talented chazanim, but trained, academically trained chazanim who knew exactly what they were doing, why they were doing it, and musically were prepared as well. And eventually, I went on to become a faculty member at the Bell School myself.
At this point, Sherwood discussed many of the classes at the Bell School, and in particular, he talked about some online classes, most interesting. And now we'll get right back to the interview.
I'll tell you one thing about the Bell's curriculum. You know, many chazanim are good enough to improvise. They do a beautiful job. But, you know, most cantors are human, and they don't necessarily have the capacity to create their own davening within certain modes. As you know, each paragraph of tefillah has a required mode and required style. But you can improvise on that, and that's how you get your cantorial fantasias from there. But a person has to know the basic nusach. And one thing about the Bell School nusach, which Cantor Beer spent over 20, 30 years creating, is that it's a way a real Baal Tefillah davens. When you know you hear the old-time Baal Tefillahs, the Aguda or in other places, who people really know how to daven.
Uh-huh.
And this is the real davening that was done for 200 years by Baal Tefillah. Accurate, and it's also done, we redid it to make it dictu correct, the right accents, accentuation, the right connection of words. It's a beautiful davening. It's very melodic. I'll give you a quick example if you have a minute.
Sure, of course.
For instance, Chazan will get up and go, okay, nu, v'lokei avoseinu, tzevenu, choseinu, כשאין מסך על שם כן בשביל השכל, שבאין ומתבר בסמכים בשביל השכל, ותאי לבן ליבת חבי אמס, מחילנו עד שם הלכם יבא ברצן, שבס קדשך אב, ינו כבו ישראל הקדשי, שמחו. It's a little boring, because you're repeating the phrases one after another. Whereas we have the following. We have, אלוקינו אלוקי אבוסינו, בצבם נוחוסינו, קדשנו מצוי שכו, וסיין חלקינו בסור השכו, סבאינו מטובכו, וסמכינו בשוב השכו, ותאה ליבנו יבדכו באמס. No, it's very melodic, very emotional.
Right.
It builds. There's a constant building to it. So it's something that adds a beautiful explication, a feeling, a regesh, a kavana that every chazan can use as a basis for his davening. If he wants to go off on a cantorial fantasia from there, mechavad gadol, but at least every chazan should have a framework. And the Bell's curriculum, which will soon be available, although we're only putting three davenings on it to start with, but every chazan should know that framework and that basis on which to grow and become a great chazan from there. It's very important.
Well, it sounds like a great program, and I'm sure it's going to be widely used, and I'm sure we'll get new talent from this that you ordinarily...
At least the people in the world, the outside world there, in the shuls where unfortunately they don't have chazanim, at least we know that at least the layman will have at least a proper guideline to know how to daven properly. But of course, our eventually hope is that chazanim will learn this, that shuls were, because they realize that davening takes a little more skill than just getting up there and saying the words, they're going to realize that they're going to need a chazan, because the people that are coming up there are really butchering the davening.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, the circle may come around. They all realize that they will need chazan in the future, and it will be a position at least to be able to teach new chazanim what they have to know.
Well, it sounds very exciting, and... I wish you great success, because it's certainly needed. Sherwood, any closing thoughts about Chazanut?
Well, I mean, in a way, this is what I said before. A little bit of that in there. All of us who are involved in the... and all of those of us who are teaching in the cantoral world are very upset with the fact that certainly in Orthodox shuls, chazanim no longer exist. And every year we're losing a little town here and a little town there who always formerly had a chazan. It's something that pains all of us. The conservative reform world, that don't have that problem necessarily, because the people in those shuls are not... usually, they don't have yeshiva training. They don't have a background that at least they think they can get up and daven, and that they don't need a chazan. But they know they don't need a chazan, that they're not trained, so they want to. So they need a chazan. But certainly, in the Orthodox world, right now we don't have positions filled by Orthodox chazanim. Here in Baltimore, when I first came in 1960s, I did a concert, and I did concerts at least 10 or 12 different times over a period of 20 years in Baltimore. When I first came, there were 10 Orthodox chazanim in Baltimore. 10. Now there's only one. There's Ali Albrecht. Every
yes.
other shul that had a chazan no longer has. It's the same thing. In Philadelphia, we have no Orthodox chazanim. In Chicago, we had Orthodox chazanim. There's not one Orthodox chazan in Chicago. We had chazanim in Boston. We don't have none there. In New York, most shuls don't have a chazan, except in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Midtown Manhattan, all the major shuls have chazanim. It's probably the last place in America where almost every shul has a chazan.
Yes.
But again, I do believe I'm trying to predict the future. It's hard to predict, but now that I have a little more time and I'm not davening every Shabbos anymore, I do go around to different shuls and I have a chance to hear other chazon in every different cities and different places, and not chazonim, but I hear Bali Tfilah, you know, a layman who get up and daven. Some are very good, I must say, but unfortunately, too many times there are people who get up there and really don't know what they're doing.
Mm.
And because a person has a yahrzeit with a terrible voice, he davens most of Shabbos morning and destroys the whole davening, which is, by the way, not a halachic requirement. He doesn't have to daven most of it. But some shuls are afraid to get a balabas upset. So they even let him daven musaf, the main davening of Shabbos morning, with a guy who has no voice and has no idea what he's doing. So eventually, I believe that someday the circle will turn, as I said before, and hopefully the profession of chazanas, which is over 1,000 years old, will come back to the Orthodox shul, and people will again be inspired by the type of chazonim that we have had historically, and there will be other mitzvah shem, Yasala Rosenblatts and Moshe Kozovitskis, and the quality of prayer will be brought back to a high level as it was before, and I hope that will happen. And eventually, I don't know when, I may not be alive when that happens, but hopefully someday that will happen.
Well, we just have to keep trying. We can't give up, that's for sure. Okay, so thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, and I hope you're going to enjoy your retirement with your grandchildren, and it's a wonderful way to look towards the future.
Well, I will still keep in touch with all the chazanim. I'm still going to be part of the Cantorial Council of America. I'm still going to be at the Bell School, so I'm still going to be living in the Lincoln Square area. I'll still be teaching bar mitzvahs.
Great.
I'll be there in shul harmonizing with Yankee Lemmer. You know, I'm not going too quickly, but God willing, it's a new phase. I have to get used to it. But mm-hmm. I have an idea that I may even enjoy it.
I'm sure you will. Thanks again, Sherwin.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. All the best, Charlie.
Shalom.